Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskadin coming to you from North Carolina. And today is a day to stay focused and stay on the wall. There's a lot going on, not only today, this week. You've seen the inflation numbers that have been put out this morning. It continues to show a dire situation economically. But also we want to remember those who are in South Texas, South Louisiana, Mississippi, as last night and even into early hours this morning, they have been hit by Tropical Storm Nicholas. And right now, especially for those South Louisiana, South Mississippi, who were hit by Hurricane Ida, this is not a good situation for them. We're trying to put back power, get everything restored, see where the damage is, see who needs help. And this does not help. And then this is second year in a row where this has happened. We're just back to back in these same areas. So we want to continue to pray for those areas, but also in the coming days, is the Weather Channel reports the flooding is only going to increase. As of right now, they say the eye of the storm is over Texas as of 7 a.m. Central Time. And so it's moving fast at 50 miles an hour. I think it was in Houston. It hit the coast of South Texas, like Corpus Christi, at I believe 75 miles an hour, and then ended up going up the coast into Louisiana, now into Mississippi, as you can see here. But there is actually a map here that I'm going to point out. It talks about the flooding areas. Basically, the whole southeast pretty much is going to get hit by this. But some of the flood areas here, starting from Freeport, Texas, all the way. And for those in South Louisiana, like Charles, from being hit from hurricanes previous years, this could cause more damage to those who are already trying to rebuild and then going into New Orleans and the surrounding areas there and into Mobile is a something to for them to be cautious of. And they need wisdom in this season, where to go, what to do, especially if they're still trying to rebuild. So we want to continue to intercede for them during this season as not only the floods, but also high winds, which could knock over power lines, et cetera, and cause more damage, lift debris everywhere. So we want to continue to pray for them during these moments of this hurricane and tropical storm coming to hit their lands, which is very interesting to see this happening. It makes you wonder on a political level, what's going on behind closed doors, what deals were being made, and it's very, very interesting. One thing that's also interesting is in South Louisiana, Matt, you put, thank God for electrical linemen. It's those guys do amazing work, but what's sad to see is that we have someone in our church, Lori, whose husband works for SWEPCO, and SWEPCO has been basically removed from South Louisiana, which is not a good decision, because you need bigger companies to help put back lines. And what they're doing is ultimately going with smaller companies, smaller resources, who will ultimately take less. And so it's going to take longer, which means it's going to take longer for people in South Louisiana to get power back at a mass level. Whereas if SWEP goes in, they have more resources, can throw more weight around and get things done. So even those who are doing it is an amazing job, but still some of the decisions being made by some government officials is just very preposterous and very questionable, to say the least. All right. So moving forward, we have obviously today is the day for the California election to supposedly happen, even though it's been happening for, I think, at least a month now, a little over, actually. And I'm going to read this cutout from CNN. I think it's a great analysis, because I think it shows what most likely happened, because right now it shows Gavin Newsom is leading in the polls. And a lot of pollsters say that basically no way he's going to lose. Obviously, there are disputes around that. Talked a little bit about it yesterday in noon prayer about how there are people who are going and voting and already shown that they're voting. And I'll get to that here in a second. But first, I want to read this cutout. This is from CNN, the top five things you need to know today. One of the last one is California. And they talk about how in the governor's race, the recall election is through. There's polls showing, and the issue here is talks about how the conservative effort to oust the governor gained steam with discontent over Newsom's stringent measures to fight the pandemic. However, his more recent moves, like vaccine mandates, have seen broader swell of support. Ultimately, that's disagreeable. But here's the more important thing is if he wins, they are going to consider it a vote of confidence, so to speak. And it will ultimately embolden him and other leaders to adopt stiffer pandemic safety measures, even though obviously there are those on the right who say, look, there's fraud, even seen in here saying it's baseless claims of fraud. But you have reports like this coming out where people, and we posted this last night, there are people who keep going to vote, and they said they've already voted, and this is their first time going to vote. And it's not just one or two people. It's numbers on numbers on numbers. And so you take that throughout all of California, what happens, that's the case. But for those in California, if you have the chance to go to a polling station today, and if they show you've already voted, the one thing you can do is the bottom of this report talks about, you can just submit a provisional ballot instead of whatever ballot was put in place. So that's really the only fail-safe option for you to ensure and check. And then after the fact, see how they voted, how they tallied your vote, even though that's supposed to be private. But it doesn't look good for getting him out. But ultimately, God may have a plan in this. Like, if anything, what this can do is awaken people to the reality of the state of California, and to the policies and procedures that have been put in place. So again, we want to continue to intercede for God's will to be done in the California governor's recall election, because even though if he gets removed or not, there's something that can happen, isn't it? It can awaken people to the types of policies that are put in place here by Governor Newsom and by other politicians. So let this be an awakening cry to people who thought policies such as anti-God policies such as this don't go into effect. And Catherine Hall from California says, I was just in California and they feel he will lock them down again if he wins. That's very interesting that you say that, because I want to talk, what was it about this? Because you have, let me back up a little bit. I'm jumping ahead. Okay, so we know potentially Gavin Newsom will shut down, stay down again. Okay, but let's back up. Let's go back to the federal mandate. So you have now publicly, a couple days ago, it was like 19. Now it's up to, I believe, 26 states where you have governors of these states come out and say, from Arizona, Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina. Unfortunately, our governor here in North Carolina is not going to stand against this. South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, West Virginia, and Wyoming, and the attorney generals of Kentucky and Jeff Landry, who have come out and said they will fight these mask mandates, vaccine mandates, excuse me, and ultimately stand up against this. So you see it at a high level come through, but at the end of the day, who's going to enforce this? Obviously, people not in these states at a state governmental level. And then I think one thing is very important to acknowledge is Ron DeSantis said this, is it's amazing because he before the president and the White House has said that they have acknowledged in the past that the president does not have the authority to force mandates, the vaccine mandate, on anybody. And ultimately, they're going against what they've said before. Is this the first time that this has happened? Absolutely not. Will this be the last time? I can guarantee you it won't. I don't like making guarantees, but with the way this administration has been going in the first 8-9 months, it doesn't look well for the rest of their presidency. So you have this. So I want to lay that groundwork. So, okay, we have these mandates coming forward. Now you have over half the states. I think there's two more states that might end up jumping on. And I'm surprised to not see North Dakota. Oh, yeah, North Dakota is there. I'm sorry. A couple other states might jump on later. But we'll see. So you have that. Now at a state level, speaking of California, is you have the sheriff coming out publicly from Riverside County Sheriff's Department, ultimately saying, he says, look, we're not going to enforce this. He talks about how for some people it's going to be good for them in his eyes to get it because their autoimmunity is low, where they'll need it versus others who don't necessarily need it and or they have recovered from it. So at the end of the day, it's going to be up to your local officials. And this is where, even in the state of California, where you have over 70% of the state legislature that is of one party, that being a Democrat party, let's say Larry Elder gets in, there are Democrats who have made this assumption, and this is why they're saying, just get Gavin Newsom out and put us in, is that a Republican candidate won't be able to get in. Part of that is true, won't be able to get anything on, excuse me. Part of that is true, but also at the same time, I think Californians need to wake up to the reality of the results of having such a one-sided legislature. This isn't just in the fact that, you know, it's of a party who is anti-God. It's in the fact that it's not only of a party that is anti-God, but that only one party has the say of the land. And there is no conversation for differing points of view or doing anything else. It's just one way and that's it. And it's been like that for a while, but hopefully with this, Californians can wake up to the reality of this. Now, in regards to the vaccine, there's interesting news that has come out. So I talked about this a couple weeks ago about the two FDA officials who have said they're going to step down in October and November. Well, they have recently put out a report. Those same officials, Marion Gruber and Phil Krause, their reasoning for stepping down is because there are non-FDA officials making FDA decisions about approving vaccines and about approving what the FDA says should do, which is very interesting. And the reason they have a problem with that is because they've studied for it. Other people in the FDA have studied for it, and there are people who have not studied and not gone through the process of knowing how to actually pass vaccines and medical information and look at it properly, who are ultimately making this decision. So they're upset about it. So they put out this Lancet paper that talks about how the efficacy for the second and even the third booster shots is not necessary. They, in their eyes, consider the first shot to be enough. And here's what they say. They say there could be risk if boosters are widely introduced too soon or too frequently, especially with vaccines that can have immune-mediated side effects, such as myocarditis, which is more common after the second dose of the mRNA vaccines, or Guillain-Barré syndrome, which has been associated with adenovirus vectors, COVID-19 vaccines, the study says. And ultimately, they say, if unnecessary boosting causes significant adverse reactions, such as the aforementioned side effects, the author said there could be implications for vaccine acceptance that go beyond COVID-19 vaccines. So part of their assessment is that, look, we got to think long-term about this. Of if you're pushing these vaccines that aren't necessarily necessary, then in the future, if there are vaccines that are necessary, that are needed, then you're not going to need them. And that you're going to have pushback against it. And I think that's a good analysis. But one thing that this scenario in the world is showing is that there is a dispute in the medical field about certain vaccines, about the efficacy of not only just certain vaccines, but the addition of the boosters and adding in the concoctions of doing everything at the same time. And as a new parent, I'm learning that with all the potential shots that we have to decide on when our son is born, which one should he get and which one should he not. And the biggest thing that doctors have said and studies have shown, and more so the lack thereof of evidence, shows that where are the studies done that show what happened to a human body when you're adding all these concoctions into a human body at the same time. And what I found through this, and I will go down this road a little bit today, is that there are doctors who have studied and seen that whenever you hear commentaries from a Fauci or anybody who advocate for a vaccine or a booster shot, they'll always say this vaccine, this booster is safe. But what they're not saying is that this vaccine with this booster and all the other boosters for the rest of your life, yeah, they're safe, because there aren't studies on that. It's just this vaccine alone is safe, but not this vaccine with this booster and with this other vaccine and this other vaccine and this other vaccine. Oh yeah, they're all safe. There aren't studies being done on that. And that's a huge, huge alarm, red flag for me, not only as a parent, but even for myself as an individual about what I let in my body and what is, but I digress. But so you have two FDA officials who are obviously on their way out, and they're sounding the alarm, and they're even pro-vaccine. And then there is some sanity in the world today. In Michigan, there is a Spectrum Health in Michigan who they're saying, which I think this is utterly amazing. They're looking at the science. They're seeing what is actually out there. Obviously, they're still pro-vaccine, but they're saying that if you can prove you have natural immunity, you do not need a vaccine. And what they're taking is the study found in Israel, where it showed that those who have natural immunity, currently based on studies that have been done, not only are they more protected against the virus, but they're also, it's longer lasting than anything that the vaccine can give you. And obviously, Fauci's, he was asked the question of, is this something that we're going to consider in the future? He says, well, that's something we're going to have to discuss regarding the durability of the response. The one thing that paper from Israel doesn't tell you is whether or not, as high as the protection is with natural infections, what's the durability compared to the durability of the vaccine? And so it's conceivable that you get infected, you're protected, but you may not be protected for an indefinite period of time. Okay. While I may agree with that assessment to a degree, what is being shown out of studies from Israel is that those who have natural immunity end up having longer durability, even more than the vaccine, which is why Israel is on its fourth round of boosters, because they're showing that the boosters only last for 6 months. So to kind of burst that little bubble there, obviously, the Fauci and his whole community there, that's a slow-moving machine. And so this is the reality that's out there. This is something that – and I point this out to show that, look, this is where the political minds are at. And even with Joe Biden potentially making more mandates and pushing more mandates this week, this is where these things play out. Fauci is leading the directive. They make it seem like it's more people, but again, Fauci is heading it. And then there is a doctor out of Emory University who put out a study. And in the study, they say, we saw the antibody responses, especially IgG antibodies, were not only durable in the vast majority of patients, but decayed at a slower rate than previously estimated, which suggests that patients are generating long-lived plasma cells that can neutralize SARS-CoV-2 spike protein. Basically, natural immunity lasts longer than the virus. Again, hooray for God and hooray for our natural immune systems. Okay, so we lay that groundwork there. And obviously what we want to continue to pray for in the days ahead, there's going to be with the states and AGs, there's going to be lawsuits and cases. That's where we want to pray for the Golden Court cases to come in the days ahead. All right, heading towards the end here. One thing we learned yesterday, and I've seen multiple views and points of views on this, is that Karen Olick, who was or is on the way out, the chief of staff for Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, announced that she's going to leave after this next month. And this is normal, especially for a new administration. Usually they get burnout. Usually, you know, they just rack up experience on their resume and they want to get out. I mean, working in government jobs for as long as she has, I could imagine she wants to get out. But what's not being talked about, not being discussed more of, is not only that she's leaving and Republicans are having their, you know, putting their punches in, their jabs in. That's great. Cool. But one thing that's not being talked about that's in this political report, it's all the way at the bottom. And they're talking about how, and this is very interesting. I don't want to read these two paragraphs because this shows the complete different dynamic of the previous administration to this one. And there's talks about how this – actually, let me back up. It talks about here at the top of the page, the shakeup of the Biden administration, this shakeup, during this time where they're trying to grapple with the flow of migrants at the southern border – the person who's coming in has experience, not actually getting things done, but more so just a political aspect. And then employees and senior officials of the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, have also been working nonstop on other crises that their department is taking a lead, including responding to impact of Hurricane Ida and helping vet tens of thousands of Afghan refugees. So you're laying the groundwork here. They have all this work going on during these busy times for the department. One career DHS official said that some DHS career employees have not been happy with career people with critical security positions, have had to go into the office when senior political appointees in the office haven't gone in that much. Senior political appointees are those who Biden has appointed to be in these offices, and they're the people who work on the day-to-day basis, even before Biden got in. They're going in, they're working hard, they're trying to resolve the situations, but there are people at the top who aren't doing their job. And they say in this report from Politico, who is not moderate at all, they say that's a departure from the Trump administration when many political appointees went into the office during much of the pandemic last year. Some of the senior career officials have had to call some political appointees to tell them they had to come in to review and sign off on important classified documents, according to this official speaking on condition of anonymity. And they say it's impacted morale and caused tension that the political people are setting rules and the rules don't always apply to them. It says, and the response from the senior appointees is that ultimately maximum telework flexibility to all is basically what's guiding everything and why they're not coming into the office. The situation is that if you're not in the office in these situations, you're not getting all the information because a lot of it can't be put out over the internet due to its classified nature. I point that out to show that, you know, there have been prophetic words about how there are going to be those who are in the network and in these positions who are seeing things on a day-to-day basis, who in the past have gone with it and have agreed with these agendas that are anti-God and anti-freedom, that the Holy Spirit will come in and reveal to them the truth. And sometimes it's a slow measure where the Lord just chips away and says, hey, look, this is not reality. This doesn't work. These are these type of policies. This is what these people actually stand for. And for people like that who actually want to do things policy-wise and do things through works, this is very frustrating. And they're going to continue to be frustrated. And then they're looking back on their experiences with the previous administration. Orange man bad, but you've still got the job done. And so that's where we want to continue to intercede that the Lord rise up, not only in the White House, but this administration and other government offices, and that his enemies would be scattered. Because ultimately, if these people can see, and if these prophecies and things are going to come true, you're going to have to see the people who are in these movements. And this is what happens. This is what happened from all these testimonies I've heard for so long about the Jesus movement. Is that's exactly what happened. You had the people who were doing drugs, hippies, in that whole movement, and the Lord just convicted them and got them saved and turned them over. And then now some of them are still on fire for the Lord. And so that shows, and I know some of you here, I've heard some of your testimonies, those who watch via replay, like the Lord has dragged us out of a dire situation and really overturned our lives and grabbed a hold of our heart. And this can happen in these situations. So I point this story out to show that is that, look, even though we're going down what seems like a dark road, is that God can use this to awaken something inside of these people. And because until they get smacked in the face with reality about what these decisions actually mean and the fruits of them, unfortunately, they're not going to wake up to it. And that's where we're at. And then I want to talk about this briefly. I know I'm going kind of long, but so in the buildup to getting this $3.5 trillion bill passed, the House Energy Commerce Committee is working to determine what's going to be in and not in this bill. And you have Republicans who are trying to prevent certain things from being done, and you have Democrats who are basically pushing what is considered the Green New Deal. But obviously AOC has taken a back seat to this, and now the Democratic Party leaders are pushing this forward. So it talks about what's being put in it and how Republicans are trying to protect certain portions of the bill. But in the bottom of this article from the Epoch Times, there is a gentleman by the name of Brian Darling, who was the former legal counsel to Senator Rand Paul, ultimately says the parameters of the so-called Build Back Better bill, which is what they're trying to call the $3.5 trillion bill from Biden, they want to plan to look like a laundry list of items that are intended to bully moderate Democrats into supporting the massive package. Ultimately, moderate Democrats are going to claim they are opposed to the more radical elements of this package, but then they will vote for it for fear of taking down the whole package. This is his analysis, and I agree with it. And they say that he says this. He says this is a classic case of leadership putting forward a controversial package and daring dissenting members of their own caucus to vote against it. Before I get to that, and how we know it's a Green New Deal is because in the filings from committee Republicans and some of the amendments trying to kill some of the revisions, on some of the levies, the reason it wasn't killed is because the Democrats are using protections from the EPA to classify greenhouse gases, and this bill is in particular to natural gas. And their whole view of why they don't want to protect natural gas is they say, well, the emissions cause such and such effects to the environment and that this formula from the EPA is, and how they classify greenhouse gases is why they're not going to go forward with it. But when you go all the way to the bottom, is part of this, the amendment there that they're trying to put forward, which was ultimately defeated. This is what the Republicans put forward. And there was language in there that included that one would have to specify new levies that ultimately do not apply to methane gas from farm animals. So if you remember the whole Green New Deal, where AOC and others were saying, we want to tax cow farts. Guess what? They're still doing that. This bill that they're trying to push forward, this quote-unquote Build Back Better, is just the Green New Deal split up into bits and pieces. It's not one. It's not the bill that is $100 trillion that they're trying to push forward at one time. They're splitting it up into small pieces, and this is what this bill is. And then this analysis here, which it goes on to talk about other parts of it, is, after weeks of Democrat infighting over the price tag of the feasibility paying for Bernie Sanders' $3.5 trillion budget, that is key. This is Bernie Sanders' initiative pushing this stuff forward. I know the other article talked about the Biden's Build Back Better plan, kapooey. It is Bernie Sanders' agenda that is pushing this forward. And I point this out, is we obviously know Joe Manchin is completely opposed to this, because he's on the biblical foundation of not rushing into this. Let's see what we know. Let's figure this out. Let's understand what's happening. I want to point this name out, is Democrat from Florida, Stephanie Murphy. She said, who is a member of the Ways and Means Committee, who is ultimately working on the other article I was talking about, the natural gas tax. They're working on, for the House of Representatives, crafting the bill from their side, has ultimately raised concerns about the bill. And she said, while she supports many of its measures, she professed serious reservations about some aspects of the reservation, of the legislation, excuse me. And she's talking about there's been no transparency, noting that many members of the Ways and Means Committee have not gotten most of the subtitles of the legislation because it's being written right now. And she says the most concerning absence to her is that the lack of information of how the government would pay for the legislation. And she talks about how she doesn't think we can afford it and how to do everything, because they're still writing the legislation right now. The reason she doesn't have that information is because the people who are writing this bill don't have that legislation. So in these moments where you have people who are publicly saying, we do not think that this should move forward as fast as it is, we need to review this, we need to look at this, I don't agree with everything, this is where it would be wise for Republicans to reach across the aisle and discuss things. And this is why we want to pray for people like Joe Manchin and Stephanie Murphy, from Florida, who would agree with most Americans to say, hey, let's kind of wait on this, to go along with the prophetic and stand with the prophetic that God has told us. That ultimately this Bernie Sanders agenda will cripple the next 3 to 4 generations. And that's the line in the sand we want to draw. And that's where we want to stand. And that's where I'll end today, is while, yes, it is getting dark, not only politically and naturally, and spiritually, it is now the time to stand up. If you've been listening to my dad's podcast, he's talking about, look, God's allowing this so you can see who's righteous. You can see who's actually going to stand up for biblical moral values. And you don't see that in any better time than right now, where there is such a line in the sand where people are completely diametrically opposed to each other. And it's not just right versus left, because there's Democrats who are siding with Republicans and showing they have logic, and there's Republicans who are showing they're siding with Democrats and showing they don't have logic and don't have reason and aren't standing up for biblical moral values and things that they said they would when they ran for office. So everybody right now from either side, either point of view, is getting exposed. And if you listen to last Wednesday night, John West, and he's been saying this for about 2 years now, is God is sifting us. He's dealing with the things in our soul. He's dealing with the things that are in our heart. And if they're not of God, that they're being removed. And so this is what I'm doing on a personal level, is I'm exposing myself like David did. It says, God, come sift me, remove anything that is in my heart that is not of you. And put in the Holy Spirit, put in what is of you in me, and remove, you know, my flesh, and all sin and falling short of the glory of God. And at the end of the day, this is the price that Jesus paid so that we can have this forgiveness. Now we don't have to make, you know, animal sacrifices and things such as that, but I could go on. But this is why we stand. We keep our emotions in check, because we have souls to save. We have a destiny to get back to as a nation. And at the end of the day, God has put us here for a time such as this. And even as Esther was in her time, standing against the potential of being hanged and her entire population of people being wiped out, she stood up and was obedient to what the Lord gave her to do. Even against, it seems like, her will at some points, but she still did it. She was fearful. She probably, her knees were shaking. I could only imagine. But at the end of the day, she stood up, had a backbone, and stood for what the Lord gave her. And in our time, these are these fights. We pray, we get involved, we build relationship with those who we may agree with or disagree with, because now is not a time to hide in a corner, even though that's what seems like the government is trying to make us do. So I digress. And thank you guys I know I went a little long today. Thank you guys for following along. For those who haven't heard our last Friday's noon prayer, we put it out on both of our podcasts for you to go back and listen to if you don't want to watch the video, and just focus on the dreams and the warnings that the Lord's showing us, and really focus on not making decisions that are of the soul, especially in these times where even today with the inflation numbers coming out, inflation is continuing to skyrocket. And that may not seem like that big of a deal, but if you have a continual succession of that time over time over time, things such as milk and butter and bread will go to a price, as is in the cases of Venezuela and other places where you could be paying extraordinary amounts for things just as bread. And that's how their economies crashed and collapsed because of inflation. And we're unfortunately headed down that road if Americans don't wake up to the reality of the situation. So blessings to you guys. This will be on podcast later. If you want to go ahead and share this, like and subscribe as well. And we'll be back today for noon prayer for those in the Shreveport-Bossier area at Christian Center Shreveport, and then also online on all our social media and our app as well. So blessings. See you guys tomorrow, and continue to hold the line and stand the faith.